your sorrows. Some of y'all came in here with the Christmas blues. Holiday season is, man, I'm just down and out because it's family, it's friends, it's this, it's that. People, every single day you have a reason to shout and rejoice and be glad. Just the fact that you're breathing, that's a good thing. You're not on life support. Our church is not on life support. You're alive. So it's okay to shout. See? It's okay to shout. It's okay to dance. It's okay to clap your hands. It's okay to lift your hands. We're okay with that. You do what your heart desires and what the Lord is leading you to do. You're not going to be shamed for that. You have your Bibles. This is part two of Walk by Faith. In Colossians, it says this. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. So if you want to see who God really is, you look at the life of Jesus, you can look through the Gospels, that's who he is. He's the exact representation of who the Father is. I understand we were in an old covenant, but that was the old covenant on how God had done things. If you want to see how God flows today, how the Father is today, you look at the life of Jesus. And he wasn't going around smiting people with evil and sickness and disease and all this. He was healing them of it. Why did Jesus come here on this earth? Might be some of my Christmas message. He was manifested so that he might destroy the works of who? The devil. That's why he came. Not to just save you of your sins, but he came to destroy the works of the devil that's operating in people's lives. He came to destroy it. Not so that you would have to put up with it. Not so you can say that God might be teaching me a lesson through this. He came to destroy all the works of the enemy in your life. The thief comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. Jesus came that we may have what? And have it more abundantly. Your life more abundantly with God. Even in the midst of circumstances and troubles and trials and storms and all these other things, he came to give you that life so it wouldn't bog you down so much. It wouldn't get to the place to where you just don't know. I don't know if I can do this anymore. I'm about to give up. I'm about to do this. I'm about to just give my life over to whatever is having me to feel so down and out. Listen, ships do not sink because of the water that's around them. They sink because the water that gets in him. God will never let you sink. He will lift you up. He'll never let you sink. He'll never let you be down and out. He will. If you put your faith in him and you believe in him, he will never disappoint you. He won't. God will never disappoint. Why we walk by faith and not by, you know, I'm going to be reading a scripture here later on, but it talks about, you know, we don't focus on this, what we see. Those things that we see are just temporary things. We focus on the unseen, but even then, those unseen things are supposed to be the eternal things of God, not just the unseen, because we all know if a person is an overthinker, they can think some things out and just see it. And it's just the unseen, and they can get worried and get into fear and a doubt and unbelief and all that. So we focus on his word. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. Jesus was not created. He was already there. He was the Word that was made flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. He existed before anything. So God used the Word in order to create all things. So how did Jesus get created? He was already there. Next verse. He says, for through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things which the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and what? For him. For him. Everything was created through him and for him. So even all the principalities and the rulers of the dark world, Jesus created. But he created them to be good. They turned. They rebelled. They were in pride. And the thing is that since he created all things, he is above all things. He is above all things. Next verse says he existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. He even holds you together. This whole universe is held together by the power of his word, by the word of his power. Sorry. All everything is held together. You are held together. So you don't have to fall apart like a $2 suitcase when things happen. You are held together by God's word, by Jesus, because he created you. He knitted you. So there's no circumstance in this world that can ever get you down and out to the place to where you're getting ready to fall apart. You're getting ready to lose it. You just can't take it anymore. It's just, there's nothing, nothing on the face of this planet that is capable of doing that to you if you don't let it. All you have to just give it a just a little, you don't even have to try that much. But imagine if you did. He's already done everything. All we have to do is believe. He existed before anything else. Verse 18, it says, Christ is also the head of the church, which is the body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. He is the firstborn. He is the head. The church is not the bride of Christ. We are the body of Christ. And all things are under his feet. So where's all things when it comes to you? If you're the body, it's under his feet. It's under his feet, it's under your feet. He's the head. And it doesn't matter how much people may have influence out there in the world, no matter how much leaders may exalt themselves up to be something that, you know, just trying to be godlike, there will never be anyone who can be the head. Jesus is the head of the church. And we are the body, but there are just many parts of the body. Some people just get tired of being the toenail. So they want to be the ankle. So they begin to exalt themselves or what have you. You're still a part of the body. There are many parts, and no part is greater than the other. So don't think that your life is insignificant because of what you do and where you serve and what have you. Just because you're out there greeting doesn't mean that you're not part of the body of Christ. You are. You take up offering, you're part of the body of Christ. You just say hi to people. If you're giving your life to Jesus, you're a part of the body of Christ. If you made him your Lord and Savior, if you believe in the name of Jesus, you are part of the body of Christ. Verse 19. It says, for God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. Even though Jesus humbled himself and became a servant, the fullness of God lived in him. 100% God, 100% man. And he lacked nothing. This is why one of my favorite scriptures, the works that I do, shall you do. And you would do even. greater. See, that's a savior right there. Someone who wants you to do greater than what he had done. That's a true leader right there. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. When Jesus left, he left us his peace. The need for Jesus to come and bring us the gospel was because mankind was suppressing the truth with ungodliness and unrighteousness. And at the darkest time in history, Jesus was sent to save the world. Time after time after time throughout history, we have this struggle, this fight between good and evil. And if you don't know which side you are supposed to be on, I'm going to help you out. It's the good side. Good will always prevail. I know sometimes darkness may look cooler, but it's really hot. It's really hot where that place where you're going if you choose to operate that way. Either you're walking by faith with Jesus or you're walking in fear with Satan. And some people just might want to go back and forth in that. So I understand why people would almost feel like giving up because things are not working out the way you planned or working out the way someone may have spoken over you. But what's your focus on? Is your focus on Jesus? Is your focus on his word? Or is your focus on your problems? Because everything is subject to change. It's not going to be the same all the time. Everything that you see here on earth is subject to change. Your situation, subject to change. It's just temporary. These things are temporary in your life. There's hope. There's a light at the end of that tunnel. Everything is subject to change. So what's got you down and out? What's your mind on? What's your mind on? A couple of weeks ago, we prayed for my daughter-in-law because the baby was breached. We're good, right? Amen. Thank you for your prayers. God is good. All the time. Why? Because we believe. He's a good God. And even if we didn't believe, he still is good. Even if we don't believe it, he is still a good God. Even if things don't go our way, he's still a good God. He doesn't ever stop being good. In 2 Corinthians 4:8, it says this, we are pressed on every side by struggles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. It's kind of why I wanted Dean to kind of play this song for offering. We are pressed but not crushed. We are persecuted, not abandoned. We are struck down but not destroyed. All those things will come against the believer. That's the life of a believer. Get used to it. You are pressed, but you're not crushed. What is fear? False evidence appearing. It may seem like it's crushing you, but it's not. It may seem like you're being overcrowded, but it can't harm you. You know how you combat against the enemy when he's doing that? You stay in love. Sometimes you want to kick a shin or two, but you stay in love. Sometimes you want to put five knuckles across somebody's lip, but you stay in love. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. What does the Passion one say on that one? Though we experience every kind of pressure, we're not crushed. At times we don't know what to do, but quitting is not an option. You don't have an option to quit. You don't have an option to quit. You can't quit. You can't give up. You can't give in. That's not in you to quit. Jesus wasn't a quitter. The Spirit of the living God lives on the inside of you. What's in you that's making you quit? It ain't God. If your mind is renewed through his word and you allow it to transform you, what's making you quit? See, that's why some people say, well, that's the reason why I don't quit drinking. I don't want to be a quitter. We are pressed on every side. You don't get to call it quits on the one who saved you. He laid his life down for you, took the cat of nine tails for you. He had his flesh ripped off his back for you, carried the cross that weighed him down for you, was nailed and pierced in the side for you. Jesus bore your sins, your sicknesses, your diseases, your shame, your pain, your sorrows, your poverty on the cross for you, and you want to quit? You don't get to quit. The body of Christ is not going to let you to quit. You don't get to quit. You don't get to quit on life. Ever. That's why you need your brothers and sisters. That's why you do not neglect meeting together, because they won't let you quit. True believers in Christ won't let you quit. You are pressed, but not crushed. We are hunted down, verse 9, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. If you get knocked down, get back up. I don't know about y'all. I'm going to just take a little side break. This is a little girl that plays for Hayes High. Smiler girl. Anytime she gets, I like this, but when she gets knocked down, she just pops right back up. Why? Because they thought they took their best shot on her. And then she gets right back up and just, she's right at it and just dropping, killing them. She's fun to watch. If you don't have anything to do, go to the games. But when you get knocked down, you get back up. They give you your best blow and you start laughing. I watched a video of a guy that's MMA fighting, and dude gave him a vicious uppercut, boom, laid him out. And he was like, yeah. And then the ref counted twice and was like this. And then he got up again and was just like, and then the guy turned around like, I gave him my best shot, and he got up and he was like, let's go. Game over. The enemy gives you his best shot and you don't lay down and quit. You get up again. You don't have quit on the inside of you. I'm going to hold on to his truth. I'm going to hold on to his promise. I'm going to hold on to what he's spoken in my life. I'm going to hold on to what I'm believing the Lord for. I'm not giving up. You got to say that sometimes. What are you speaking to yourself? What are you saying to yourself that's getting you down and out to the point to where it just feels like you're drowning? Your self-talk matters. Verse 10, through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Yes, we live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus so that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies. So do you think you're really going to believe, do you really believe that you're going to live under constant pressure and danger while you're here on this earth? Do you really believe that you're not going to live in constant danger? You are always going to live in constant danger. They lived in constant danger. And I'm so thankful that they're able to continue and persevere so that we can have the gospel today. They could have quit. They were like in real danger, not like us. And they were the constant pressure. It might be pressure, man. I seen that line when Seven Brew opened up. I don't want to go in that line. It's so long. That's not pressure. Because your favorite coffee shop, the line might be long. Oh, woe is me. These guys were facing danger. We're teaching the gospel to people, laying hands on a sick so that they shall recover, the works of God being demonstrated in them, and they were risking their lives just so that you and I can experience what they experienced, so that we can share the gospel with other people as well. They laid their life down for this. And you want to quit? You don't get to quit. If I find out somebody's trying to quit, I'm going to talk to you. And I'm going to help build you up. You don't get to quit. You don't get to quit on life. I don't care how things are, how tough things are going. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. You do not get to quit. You're not the only one who's been going through this. There's people who have gone through a whole lot of stuff. Far worse. You don't get to quit. I'm trying to build y'all up. Is it not coming off like that? Verse 12, it says, so we live in the face of death, but this has resulted in eternal life for you. But we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had when he said, I believe in God, so I spoke. He believed in God, so he spoke. Do you believe in God? So speak. You realize that faith is voice activated. Your faith is voice activated. You have to open up your mouth and say something. Well, God knows what I believe. God knows my mind. You have to say something. You have to do something. You have to speak it. Jesus spoke to the tree. And then we'll sit there and just, well, that didn't happen. How long did you wait? About a minute? Jesus spoke to the tree, went and cleared the temple, then came back. We don't even speak because we're afraid that the devil might hear us, other people might hear us. So what? Do you believe in God or not? Do you believe in his word or not? Says, I believed in God, so I spoke. Believing in God will cause you to open up your mouth. Fill your mouth with his word and speak. God will watch over his word to perform it in our lives. Death and life are where? Death and life are in the power of what? The tongue, your tongue. Your tongue, your life. You must speak first. If you believe, you will speak it. I don't believe in that name it, claim it. I didn't call it name it and claim it. The Bible doesn't call it name it and claim it. It says confess it and believe it. Simple as that. You could not get saved if you didn't confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior and believe it in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Satan can't stop you. We have our grandson. We get to watch our grandchildren every now and then as Kristen does more watching and I'll do more whatever I do. I'll watch them. But we have this bathroom vent that is Alexa. It turns on so you can turn on music in the shower. I like to sing in the shower. Light comes on as well. So Roman's not even tall enough to reach the light switch. So he'll go in the bathroom when he's getting ready to use the bathroom and go, Alexa, turn on the light. Ding. Then he'll get on there, get on the toilet. Then go, Alexa, play the gummy bear song. Sitting on the toilet, just. Then he'll get done. And then go, Alexa, turn the light off. He'll flush the toilet and stuff. It's like, Alexa don't work if you don't Your faith don't work. Your faith is voice activated. You're expecting God to do something. You're expecting your angels to do something. You're expecting things to work in your life, but you never speak it out. It's time to break that little tiny violin. Speak it. And don't be ashamed to say it. It's God's word for your life. You know, I'm going to, you know, sometimes people will say, well, God didn't write this word to you. He wrote it to them, the early church. I believe he wrote it to me because I read it just as that. That's a letter to me. Yeah, I wasn't there. But that's just for me. That's hitting home because he's living in me. Well, you got to sing songs that are based upon the word of God. Really? You know, one of the most, I agree with that. Don't get me wrong. You know, every song needs to be to God and God alone. The Bible isn't to God and God alone. If you read in the Psalms, David talks about God. He talks about himself, and he talks about his enemies and what he wants God to do to his enemies. I don't see that reaching very many worship teams. Like, God, smite my enemy down, kill him off. They're not singing that chorus because they left it out. Seriously. You know, one of the most powerful songs throughout the ages is Amazing Grace. Anybody know it? Sing it with me. I don't know all of it. Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch. Wait, are we talking about me? I once was lost, but now am found, was blind. See? You're talking about God. You're talking about yourself, but you're also talking about who he is and what he's done for you. That's worship. That's a relationship. That's how your songs should be. That's how David's were. You can't do it without having that. Because you're going to have to cut out bits and parts. You can even go to the book of Ephesians and realize this is who you are in Christ. You have to have it. If you want the word, if you want to sing the word, you're going to have to put yourself in it too. Because it's what God has done for you, is who he is and what he's accomplished in your life. And every once in a while, you can sing about your enemies. Kill them, oh God, kill them. That's David for you though. You don't just give up and give in to fear. You'd be amazed what you're capable of doing if you were just intentional about everything in your life. I had a teacher years ago, Mr. Antrobus, eighth grade. I remember it vividly. He had a microphone on because he had jacked up his vocal cords. So there was a little brown makeshift speaker in the back. So whenever he talked, he was just out like this stuff. So he writes a question on the board. Now, I'm always just doodling and drawing and stuff. He writes a question on the board. Math. Puts it on the board. He says, all right, solve this problem. People start raising their hand. I'm not even paying attention. They're giving an answer. Nope. Nope. Someone else will raise their hand. Nope. That's not it. If you're not going to work the problem out, stop guessing. Work the problem out. And he goes, we're not moving on until we do. I just look up there and I was like, and I just blurted out and I went back to drawing. And he's just standing there looking at me like, why are you such a flake? You know this stuff, but you don't want to do the work. Thanks for calling me out. What would happen if you were intentional? I can't go back and change that. But what if I did? What if I actually applied myself in that classroom and in math and everything else? I excelled in sports. Got an A in that class, remind you. Straight A's all 4 years. Basketball was a class that we were able to take. And PE. If I applied myself, I was an A minus B student. But sometimes we just do just barely enough to get by. And you know what? That's not kingdom. That's not God. That's not what he wants for your life. And a lot of times things may be coming into our life that, God, I didn't know. It's because we weren't diligent in what we were doing. We weren't disciplined in those certain areas. That never would have happened. Gotcha. Okay. Be intentional in everything you do. Everything. Be intentional when you pray. Don't just ask for things. Believe that you're going to hear the voice of God when you pray. Believe that rooms are going to shake when you pray. Believe that your prayers are going to be answered when you pray. Believe that. Expect that. Don't just go in there, Lord, I'm just tired. And just hoping you hear me. No, Lord, I know that you hear my word. I know you hear my voice. We come to the throne boldly. Not in fear, not in doubt and unbelief. We come boldly because we know we have a relationship with Jesus, and we can come to him and declare the goodness of the Lord anytime that we are opening up our mouths to say those things. We're confident in that. That doesn't mean you're arrogant. You're confident in who God is because he hears your voice. He hears your cries. He hears your pleas. He hears the things that are coming out of your mouth and coming out of your heart. Now, we don't beg. Children of God don't beg. I'm begging, Lord. You don't beg. You don't have to beg God. Come to him boldly. See what will happen. Father God, I thank you for my son. I thank you for my children. I thank you, Lord, for their life, health, and strength. I thank you that you protected them, Lord. I plead the blood of Jesus over my children. I plead the blood of Jesus over my life. I plead the blood of Jesus over my house. Satan, you have no right to be here. What happens if you just get some? I talked about the vertebrae, that spine that God has given us, that'll stiffen us up. That backbone. He's given that to you. And sometimes we don't want to use it because I don't want other people to think. I'm 50 years old. I don't really give a rip. And I know some people, I said, man, we used to think, I heard someone say, you know, we used to complain as children that we have to be sent to bed early. We have to eat our vegetables. We can't watch this. We can't watch that. Man, that sounds great. Being a little older. Go to bed early? There was one time, Kristen's in pajamas at 3. We ate dinner at like 4:30 one time, 4 or 5 o'clock. Early bird special. We used to make fun of that. We get to stay up all night. Man, that's punishment. That's not anything cool. My goodness, am I really this old? But going to bed early, and then you wake up early. And then it's like you got your whole day. She's got her stuff done, and she got phone calls that she needs to do. She's got her workout done and everything. It's like 2 o'clock, let's put some pajamas on. Ain't got nowhere to go. Let's. My goodness. That's not punishment. Kids, if you feel like you're being punished, that's a good thing. Ain't nothing going on after dark but a bunch of evil. We walk by faith, not by sight. What verse was that on? 14? We know that God who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and present us to himself together with you. All of this is for your benefit, and as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving and God will receive more and more glory. They weren't doing it for themselves. They were doing it for the glory of God and for the generations afar off. That's you and I. That is why we never give up. Verse 16, it says, though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. Even though outwardly you might be experiencing death, but inwardly God has given you life every single day. And here's the thing, God never loses, and we don't, if we don't give up. In verse 17, it says, for our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. I'm going to give you a little bit in 2 Corinthians 11:23, some of Paul's present troubles. And I'm saying he's the one that's writing this. He says, are they servants of Christ? I know I sound like a madman, but I have served him far more. I have worked harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped times without numbers, and faced death again and again. 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. That's a cat of nine tails. 5 different times. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. And I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. I have worked hard and long and enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty and have often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold and without enough clothing to keep me warm. This is what he called light affliction. And we want to get upset over a line? We're getting ready to crash out? Over something so small, so minute, so it's not even worth it. He faced some dangers here. I think we need to step up our faith a little bit. People not liking what you say, and it's bothering you, let it go. People not coming to talk to you at certain functions and stuff, let that mess go. Who cares? Have you been shipwrecked? I won't get in water. I don't know why people keep asking me to go on cruises. I will not get in water. I don't even like those gift boats that are on the water. What is that stuff you have to take? That. That's nothing, though. Paul was adrift at sea. Left for dead. They stoned him and they thought he was dead. And they drug him outside the city. And he went up and got up. His man came, his disciples came, picked him up, and they went to the next town and preached. It's nothing. Especially what we experience here in America. That's nothing. Cable's out. Oh my gosh, internet don't work. I can't get a connection. What is going on? I'm losing my mind. Put the phone down. You're good. You're good. It's all right. You know, Dean has a ham radio that he's built. He'll let you get on that. It's okay. It's okay. They don't have your holiday ham. You'll be all right. It's not that bad. These are light afflictions. And here in this nation, we don't really face those afflictions. There's people who's really going through some true persecution. Keep them in your prayers. Anybody ever try to kill you off because you were preaching the gospel here? Nope. Nope. Not me. Not even close. So sometimes we just need to just buckle down a little bit. Huh? Treat them like flies, man. Sometimes they're just there for the ride. Drop them off on the next town. Roll the window down. It's just light affliction. What God has for you is far greater. So don't ever be ashamed to activate your faith on a daily basis. Your angels are waiting for that. Send them out. Put them to work. They're out of work right now because you ain't saying anything. Teach my grandson this, and he'll be putting his angels to work because he put Alexa to work. I don't like it when he says, play the poopy song. It's just a bunch of farts. Burp, 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 burp. But he speaks. And as God has spoken, you speak because you were created in his image. And wait for it. Wait for it. Just rest in it. Amen. We're getting ready to receive communion. Father God, we just thank you for today. We thank you for all you've done. And Lord, we just thank you for the lives, health, and strength that are in this room right now, Lord, as we continue to speak your word over our lives, over our situations, and just because we love you. We thank you that you are faithful to watch over your word. And we just give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. If there's anyone there online that is watching and you got sickness in your body, we speak to that right now. We command healing in your body right now from head to toe. Be healed in the name of Jesus and receive it. Receive it. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv. Or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.